The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy here every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4, here on AM 690, The Answer. And, I get introduced to so many people. I get information emailed me all the time from the mainland here in Hawaii. I deal with a lot of nonprofits. And then somebody said, hey, you want to go see this play? I said, it's play? Okay, I'm not a big play guy. I mean, I love the theater to a certain extent. But I don't want to fall asleep. So if I think I'm going to fall asleep, I won't even go. But then when my friend Melissa said, hey, you know, this show is called Aging is Not for Sissies, and my ears perked up. So I love that. First of all, I love the title. And she told me about our guest today, Pratibha Eastwood. Like, wow, this is something I really got to see. And so Pratibha Eastwood is our guest today. Welcome to the show, Pratibha.
Thank you.
Now, you sent me a big bio, and that you're, I know, I saw you in a play, and you did a lot. I mean, you know, and you're a world traveler. You're originally from Israel. You lived in Switzerland, all over the place, and you're a PhD, and you're a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And then you also are a playwright. Can I say that?
You're an actor too. I acted in the show, yes.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of your background. So, I mean, we always try to like have a foundation of who our guest is, and that way they know, oh, yeah, this girl is somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just introduced me, but...
That's my fault. Sorry. I waved your call earlier.
So, I graduated with a PhD in psychology from Berkeley, California.
Oh, I love my friend. Right down the street.
A long time ago. We're talking about aging is not for sissies. in that generation.
Was that in your mind back then, though?
Not even a glimpse.
Yeah, me too.
About writing at all. Writing came into my world in the end of the 1990s.
Hmm.
And I wrote a book first in the field that I'm in.
On psychology?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what kind of psychology? Did you do like geriatrician work, gerontology work? Was it on regular mental illness or something?
It's garden variety of everything, depending on what. But mostly I'm really focused more on the unconscious.
The unconscious,
what's not obvious.
Not obvious. So when you say unconscious, to me, I think either when you're dead or when you're sleeping.
Well, it's when you're talking to me or somebody's sitting in the chair or whatever. Uh-huh. Besides the words, there's a lot that happens.
What they're thinking about.
The body moves, okay. The color in their face change. Oh. And so healing trauma and freeing up tension is all related to connecting to the unconscious, to the not obvious on the surface, not the story necessarily.
So you handle, deal with people that are under a lot of stress or trauma?
Sometimes. There's a lot of people who are interested in the unconscious in terms of wanting to become enlightened or enhanced or improve their life, not just deal with problems.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's one of the, well, we'll talk about that on a separate show, because I think that's really important, because as I get older, I'm only 58, but I see a lot of friends and relatives and neighbors are dealing with stress, and that'd be interesting. I mean, I like that topic, but we really want to. So that's amazing, the correlation between psychology and aging, huh?
Well, there is a lot to tell about aging that is deep, profound, but also can be taken with a sense of humor and positivity that allows for transformation in the process of a play.
Oh, yeah. Ron, our TV producer, is here, and we were talking the other day about, you know, in Hawaii, so many people die on the highways, pedestrians.
Mm.
And I can't remember what the figure was. 60%, 70% are in the crosswalk.
Wow.
And we've done, I've seen commercials on TV. You've seen a policeman stand on the side of the road with, you know, giving tickets out. But we still have a major problem. And we're still number one in the country, which is not good, for deaths on the highways, on the streets. And we still haven't even curbed even close to it.
Wow.
So we're actually thinking about using humor.
How?
To do commercials and skits about walk safety and driver safety.
Good idea.
You know, because I was actually one of the first volunteers that ever did that in the state of Hawaii. Gosh, I think 8 to 10 years ago, maybe. I was one of the first to go out and talk to senior groups about walk safety. But I love when I read the thing about the play Aging Is Not for Sissies. I love the humor in that. And so you came up with this. What made you think about this?
Well,
were you just tired one day at work?
When if I'm divulging my age, when I turned 65, a good number of years ago, and it was my birthday, and I really didn't feel like celebrating. I was not in a good mood about it. And my friend said, come on, we have to do something. I said, well, let's do a survival manual for the single older woman. Mm. She said, okay.
Did you ever do that?
And of course. And so I, being a psychologist, I can create questions real quickly. So I did.
You wrote a book?
No, I've created 65 questions.
Oh.
And a bunch of friends, myself and a bunch of friends, went out all over in this country, in Switzerland and in Israel. And we interviewed women, because I was interested in women at the time, of all socioeconomic status and different places where they were living, single, mothers, divorced, widowed, whatever. And then we brought all the reports from the interviews together, and we highlighted the best parts, and then I wrote stories.
And do you have that documented someplace?
I just documented it for you.
No, but I mean, there's 65 questions.
Oh, I have those someplace. Yes, I do have them. So that was the first show, and it was all about women and aging at the time.
Oh, the first, and that was, what, 2000-something?
That was, and that came, and so I did that in 2005 for my birthday, and my friends who came to the birthday said, you have to put it on the stage. This is too good, and helped me do a promo.
So you were a one-man show then when you did it?
No, actually, I had a lot of friends who joined in with me then, a lot of friends.
Did you videotape that at all?
I do have a videotape of it.
That'd be great to look at. I love humor. I think, to me, that's great. One of the best ways to communicate this, because we just, like I said, we go back to the walk safety thing. We've seen a lot of commercials, and it's still not solving the problem. It's not resonating. So I know they recently did a couple of humorous commercials about walk safety, but I only saw it on TV for like 2 weeks, and it's gone. And actually, everybody I talked about this, I've never seen it. And I know that the local actor in it, so I was actually should find out from him. But so after you did a 65 questions, you did a play.
So then I took that and wrote stories. I was not the only one to write stories. There were a few stories that were by other women. But I put together a bunch of them. And then we put it on the stage. And it was really well received.
Was that at Manoa Theater too?
And not at the time. It was in many other theaters in town. Oh.
Because I've never heard of it. I've been involved with aging since 2002.
Well, I don't know. Anyway. Okay. So time passed, and we lost a couple of people who were in the show. Sylvia Alper-Horman passed, and another friend got married and left. And so between the time difference and that there was an opening, it was time to rethink. And we decided it really would be nice to invite men to the show.
Just
and get another perspective, not just women. At the time, that was important to me. But, you know, life moves on.
Well, that's great, because I saw the Vagina Monologues, which was really – have you seen that?
Yes, of course.
Oh, it's very funny. And
I mean, this show is the same genre.
Yeah, but that was just women.
Yes.
So now you've added men. I did not know that. I thought it was always men and women.
No.
Oh.
It was women in the beginning, and then revisited with men and music is why we added this.
Oh. So we're here with Pratibha Eastwood, the playwright. Can I say playwright or director?
You
did everything in that show, by the way. You were great. Well, the play coming up October 29th, at Orvis Auditorium at UH campus. And people that grew up in Hawaii or went to UH know the Orvis Auditorium. They don't know exactly where it is, because it's right off of...
It's University and Dole, right in the corner.
Okay. So, but yeah. Okay. And it's at 7:30 at night. It's a Monday night.
Correct.
So in a week or so. Yeah. So check them out. You can... How do they get tickets? Do they go online or go to call Orvis or...
They have... No. They have two options. They can either go to HTT, whatever. You know? Aging is Not for Sissies at brownpaperticket.com.
Brownpaperticket.com.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that on your press release thing that
right.
you sent me.
And or they can call...
Orvis Theater.
No, there's somebody on the invitation, on the handout or the flyer, and her name is Rhea, and the number is 371-1104.
Okay, keep that number here. We'll mention it after the show, later on the show. So the one I saw was a couple months ago, had men in there, and I did not know it was, before it was only women. But, you know, you sent me the brochure of all the backgrounds of all these great actors and singers. I'm like, wow.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I look up and I say, hey, I noticed one guy, Alan Okubo. He's actually my father's cousin.
Uh-huh.
And he actually did the fall prevention commercial or video with my dad.
Oh,
and
really?
Actually, my mom and dad were like guest star. He was more the star. But my mom and dad, it was filmed at my parents' house. But Alan, and then my dad goes, you know, that's my cousin. It's my dad's cousin. I said, oh. So I saw Alan, and I talked to him after the play, and he's all over the place, and then he told me about this. But so I'm glad you do another time.
Yeah.
So can you give us a brief description of everybody involved with the play? Because besides yourself, you're Alan Okubo. Alan Okubo is a local guy, Japanese guy, but he's got to be in his 60s, 70s. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but he's a good-looking guy. And he has a Vacations Hawaii commercial. Mm-hmm. He's in a couple other local commercials out there. Mm-hmm. He likes to talk pigeon, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not like the rest of the cast. I mean, he's a local actor, but he's been a Magnum PI Hawaii 5-0.
Right, right.
A lot of shows. Alan Okubo. And then you have another gentleman, and what's his name?
There's Ernest Harada.
Ernest Harada, that's the
And
guy.
The pianist, Don. Right.
Connor.
Connor, yeah. Yeah, Connor.
And is Mr. Harada a local guy?
I think so.
Yeah, I think but he went away and gave us his background.
I know that he has experience and was playing in Broadway and in London. He was all over the place. He's an amazing singer and actor.
Yeah, he is great, and you can tell he's polished. I mean, I was watching him, and he's a professional actor. You can tell. I mean, he's polished, and he was actually he said he starred in a Volunteers film with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he was all over the countryside. He did a lot of things, and we're very lucky to have him at both of them.
Yeah,
I'm really. Don is an amazing musician, and
the pianist guy is great.
He is amazing. He's really amazing. So we're very lucky. And then we have award-winning actresses. You know, we have Joe Pruden, who has won a lot of awards. We have Joyce Maltby, who is the director and has won all kinds of awards for being a director and an actress.
Do they all live here, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh. Because I've heard Joyce Maltby's name before.
Yeah. And Blossom Hoffman, who you have heard sing amazingly in the show and has started a long time ago in acting and in singing and teaches it.
Well, a few of them are London-trained actors.
Mm-hmm.
And in their musical background, they're great. I mean, Blossom is really good.
I know.
It's amazing how much... I mean, I looked at the credits, like, wow, she's done a lot of stuff here locally, too.
Right.
So how did you get them all together?
You know, I was just lucky. I really was lucky. I don't know if it was the name or reading the play and it appealed to them, but they gathered. They were willing to do it. They were willing to do it in 2005, and they were willing to go with me to Chicago, and they were willing to start over again right now. And I'm very,
very... What do you mean
very,
Chicago? Did you do it in Chicago?
We went to Chicago in 2006.
Oh, wow.
To an aging conference and did the show there.
And how long is the show again? Hour
and a half.
The whole show. But can you break it down in half hour?
Well, we are breaking it by 45 intermission and another 45. But the whole show is an hour and a half.
Wow. You know, we should really look at finding a way to get it on TV here. We really should.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, auditorium only fills so much. Manoa Theater only fills, 100-something.
Right.
Orvis, how much does it fill? 250, 300?
No, more like 400.
Yeah. 400. Well, it's only one night.
But it's only one night, that's right.
You know, so we got to find a way to get more people involved for this. But so how did you come up with the name, by the way?
I don't know. It came to me. I had a list, you know, like me and my friends, right? So we each did. I ran a bunch of names that I came up with, and they said, that sounds like the best. So that's how it happened.
Because I'm telling you, I've been involved with aging for 16 years now, and that phrase has come up many times, you know,
yeah.
Especially how difficult getting older can be.
Right.
Whether you're in an early part of the stage or 60s or a later part in the 90s or 80s, and they always tell me that, you know, it's so difficult, and yeah, you can't be a, you got to fight for your own health care, your doctors, your insurance, staying healthy and dealing with death and dying and diseases and dealing with family. It is not easy.
Not easy, and the other side of it is that as we grow and mature and gain wisdom, we also gain resilience.
Yes.
And so the capacity of older people to have a sense of humor about what's going on and have a sense of perspective and awareness grows by miles, and that's part of what we're showing in the show.
Yeah. It's an hour and a half, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So how many monologues are there? Because this is basically monologues. And then
I have to look.
Monologues, and they actually, I wouldn't say skits, but they're one-man monologues with music, right?
16 altogether.
16 different. And how did those come about? Did you write those? Were they different experiences, and then you gathered together, and then you wrote it?
Well, this show has also pieces that the men brought in, and not just my pieces. In the very first time around, it was based on the 65 questions, and we gathered the stories, the answers, and then there were certain topics that came up, and that is how this whole thing rolled.
What Patiba is showing me, I had it someplace else. It's 16 monologues, and some of them sing, some of them just talk, but experiences. So what, for you guys out there listening, to get a good idea, let me just cover some of the topics. The Golden Years Waltz, Melinda and Me. What is that one about?
That was about Jo Pruden telling about her and her best friend who thought she was being taken into the retirement home or into old age home. And she was all freaked out and climbed up the tree to her friend's house to run away from it.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole story.
Yeah. Memory and Desire. That you did that one.
Yeah, that was about, do you want to know about my sex life?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We can say that kind of stuff, you know, here. But that was interesting. And then Aging in the Mirror, Alan did that.
No. Yes,
yeah,
Alan did that.
Alan did
that. That's right.
Thinking of how you're looking in the mirror and seeing that old guy.
Right, right.
I do that all the time. You know, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm just not okay with gaining weight this past year. It hasn't been too good for me. Older Ladies Are Divine.
That was really nice. A song.
Yeah.
That Danielle Stevens allowed us to use in the show. She has a bigger song. I mean, it's longer. And she actually wanted to come and join us in the show. But it didn't work out. She's in Colorado, and she has her thing. We have our own, so.
She can't come back for the October 29th one?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe down the road if
when you Blossom is doing a fine job of it.
That's one of the things I walked away with. You know, you had, what, six of you?
Right.
Plus the
pianist.
Yeah, Don.
Don.
All excellent. I mean, I was really blown away by the talent. I mean, I shouldn't be blown away because you guys. I mean, when I look to this cast and crew, and I'm looking at the background, everybody did. I'm like, wow, these guys have done a lot, years of work,
yeah,
professionally and in
right.
town here locally. But
right.
that's what the great part about it. But you think are some of these? I know you gathered information, but are some of these true stories?
many of them are true stories. You know, many, many of them are not made up stories. They are conglomeration of different people's feelings. So in that way, it's not one person's story, mostly. But there are stories like Betty, and there were some others, Gertrude, you know, the older lady, the 89-year-old lady that is very funny, the artist, who, you know, tells it like it is.
Well, I think that's really important. I mean,
those are true stories of interviews that we did, and just basically refined the language, but it's their story.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's what's really interesting. And I think if you're an older person and maybe gone through certain experiences or have that thought when you look in the mirror, I think it resonates. It hits home, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, that's right. The feedback we got, besides a lot of enjoyment and laughter and identification, was that it was thought-provoking, that it made people think. And that really meant something to me, that it had humor and depth at the same time. I was really pleased about that.
So I'm glad to hear they're all live here locally, because I'm just looking at your paper here regarding all the actors and a lot of the things they've done locally. It's amazing. But I was, you know, one thing I said was the one Ernest Harada was really impressed me as well, and Don, but he has done great work all over the place. A lot of them have been in L.A., Chicago, East Coast, Boston, mm-hmm. L.A., which is fantastic. Can I ask, are any one of these were your favorite dialogue or monologue?
I can't say.
Besides yours.
Actually, not. I can't say that one of them is particularly better than the other. I think the combination and the kind of roller coaster from laughter to depth to sadness to laughter.
No, it is. That's a good point. It is a roller coaster of emotions.
Yes, is the gist of what I really, really appreciate about it. That it's not just minimizing or laughing, and it's not just being sad or being so somber. It's a mixture.
But, you know, when you say it's a mixture, it covers a wide array of emotions.
Yes.
Like you said, from sad to happy to intriguing to...
Yes.
That's interesting. Oh, I'm surprised she said that. And you talked about that. That's what really was surprising, because I went with my wife, and, you know, her mother's 94 now, and my dad's 90, just turned 90, my mother's 88. So I just, when I look at things, like in the TV and a radio show and a magazine, I look at what does the reader or listener or viewer see? Mm-hmm. I put those older eyes on. I'm 58, and what do they get out of it? And that's what I really resonated with. It is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we should put that, prep them. Because I know in the beginning part, you walked up on stage and you talked about not finding something that for the resources. And you should say, you know, you should be prepared. For all these, because it'll really, I wouldn't say shock them, but it really would give them a good idea what they're in for.
Yeah, well, I think they will find out. Surprise is part of the enjoyment of being in entertainment. And it's not a drastic surprise, it's nice to allow them to experience it on their own.
Well, it makes you laugh, makes you cry, makes you think, when you ponder. Bring up really good memories.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the show. So anyway, we're going to take a short break. We're here with Pratibha Eastwood, the playwright for Aging Is Not for Sissies. It's October 29th, Monday, at the Orvis Theater there at Auditorium at UH, campus corner of University and
Dole,
that's right. I should know. I live down the street. But anyway, your tickets, you can get it, I guess, down at the Orvis Theater, or agingisnotforsissies.brownpapertickets.com, or call 371-1104. But that's it. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Pratibha. Thank you.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
Let's party at the Cow.
Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Bet you find it at the Cow. check out the Cal's new renovated look and see why the Cal is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
591-4777.
Shoot it. Who's got the best deals in Vegas around? Who's got the best deals? Call 591-4777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Good luck, we go play.
591-4777 today.
Good luck.
We go play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So thank you and welcome back to Generations Radio. As you guys know, this October-November issue of Generations Magazine is out on the stands now. Check out the YMCA, all the state libraries, even on Molokai and Lanai and UH. And also at the KTA stores on the Big Island, all the Times Pharmacy has them in their pharmacies now. But we have over 200 locations of Generations Magazine, including downtown and down to earth on King Street. But anyway, the cycles of life, the caregiving cycles of life, there are four types of people. Have I talked to you about that before?
No.
See, maybe you should went. We're going to leave them. Anyway, we're here with Pativa Eastwood. But the four types of people in the world that was coined, the phrase became popular, was not originated by Rosalind Carter. But she talked about the four peoples of life. There are four types of people. Somebody that was a caregiver, somebody that is a caregiver, somebody that's going to be a caregiver, and somebody that's going to need care.
Uh-huh.
So Carly McKay is a workforce development person, retired in Hawaii with her son, wrote, I think, 11 books on workforce development. She's from San Diego and L.A., and she's done many national speaker circuit. Retired here. And I asked her one day, have you ever thought about when you're going to need some form of care? And if you meet her, she's like you. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty about got a lot of energy, probably more energy than me. And she goes, you know, Percy, you know me. You see, you met me. I'm not going to need care. I say, well, Carly, you're probably right.
Yeah, everybody
but we're
eventually
all going
to
eventually gonna need care. Unless you smoke and drink a lot, you're not going to die right away. Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah, you got a good point. But I'm not going to worry about it. So a week later, I'm talking to her again. He goes, Percy, you know, the other day you talking about care, you kind of stopped me in my tracks. I said, what do you mean? Never really thought about care, but you brought up some points. I really need to start thinking about that. So she did her research like you. She's a researcher. I think she's a PhD as well. But then she started talking to her family, her son. I said, well, you know, nothing you need to do right now, but something you need to think down the road. And it's something that resonated with her. So she's great. I mean, like yourself, I like to surround myself by people that are smarter than me and probably have more energy than me. You know, you've done so much, you know. And I had to thank her, and she'll be back on the radio show. We're going to have Pat Bemis, who's a current caregiver. She is an amazing story. She's a neonatal nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure if you read this, but she's taken care of her husband for the last 30 years.
Wow.
Who has Parkinson's.
Wow.
So it was a big shift from her from dealing with infants to dealing with her own husband. Mm-hmm. And it's a really neat story. And she's like yourself, just interesting people. And of course, the rest of the people, we'll get them on a show later on. But we're here talking to Pradeepa Eastwood regarding her play. And I know you're not the only one that wrote the play, but it's called Aging is Not for Sissies. And, you know, I don't know if I told you, but the senior fair was last month.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever go to that? You don't go to that, do you?
I have gone to that, actually.
Did you go this year?
No.
I went this year. So the last day is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, I wore a shirt at senior fair, and people started looking at me and staring at me.
Like, you got an Aging is Not for Sissies shirt?
Yeah. Remember I bought it?
I forgot.
I bought it for what the other lady sold me. But I bought it after your play, and yeah. I wore it to Sunday, and it, well, 7,000 people came on Sunday as I'm walking around and go, yep, that's true. That's true. Love this shirt. You got to sell more of those shirts. We should put it in a magazine. We'll sell more shirts for you. But anyway, if you haven't seen the play, it's October 29th, 7:30 at the Orvis Auditorium at University of Hawaii, corner of Dole and University. But give them a call, 371-1104, or go to agingisnotforsissies.brownpapertickets.com. I'm not sure if it'll sell out or if you can go that day, but I know when I went to Manoa Valley Theater, it was sold out. Mm-hmm. But
Past, in all the places, it was sold out.
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully, we'll get you on a Mike Buck show shortly. But and I did send a press release to all the media outlets, so hopefully it gets you on there. But
thank you.
So I know there are other writers involved, so you want to give them some credit as well.
Yeah, so Alan revised the Aging in the Mirror, which I initially wrote, and he revised it.
Oh.
And Ernest brought in the two songs that he sang, both Memory and Yesterday. And the stories by Epiphany and the one that Joyce is sharing about a lady at 80, they were not really mine. And Melinda and Me was a story written by a very close friend of mine who is no longer with us. So I was very happy to have it in the show.
Did you do I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe I'll look at the sheet. Did you do anything with End of Life? Did you do one on End of Life?
Well, we did the whole thing with the mom that is in the kind of assisted living memory care one.
Yeah.
We did that, and she was shortly after with us. That was my mom.
But it was your mom.
It was my mom.
Oh, wow.
That was my story.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that about your own personal life. But I think to me, because I have about 1,000 clients, I deal with seniors every day for the last 16 years, and I've been to people's deathbed. You know, it was amazing. I had a client that I've known for, 12 years, and she would call me every Christmas to thank me for what I helped her out with. And then about 5 years ago, after she would hang up, she goes, Percy, I love you. And so one day I was at the airport. Anyway, I was at the airport. And before she hung up, she said, I love you. I said, I love you too. And my brother picked me up at the airport. And he looked at me and goes, oh, is that your wife? And my wife, Lori, goes, oh, no, it's my client. I goes, oh, you tell your clients you love them? I said, well, this is what I do. But she unfortunately passed recently. And she called me up, it was like December 21st. And she called me and said, my niece is here from the mainland. You know, she was really wasn't close to her family. And she called me in, so I was kind of curious what she called me in this time of year. So I sat down with her, goes, and she shocked me, goes, this is my niece. And she goes, you know, personally, I've had a great life. You know that I know her story very well, and we were very close. And he goes, you know, I've had a lot of health issues in the last year. She goes, you know, it's just my time. I said, okay, your time. You got a lot of energy. She used to walk around everywhere with this little roller bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't drive. I mean, she liked to drive, but she just didn't want to drive after a while. And she'd walk everywhere. She used to go to my aging workshop, in place workshop every year, and just... She goes, I'm tired. I'm really tired. I have a lot of health issues, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So she looked at me because I was kind of like dumbfounded a bit. She goes, yeah, I'm really ready to go.
I'm so respectful of people who know that and are conscious and in their moving to the next stage.
So this is the 21st, December 24th. The niece called me up. She passed away. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 days later.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to a place like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called conscious dying. I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah. Hopefully we can do that, or I can do that at least, because it was amazing. I mean, I've known her for so long, and she was energy, but she had some health issues, but I've never been to talking a conversation like this. She just tells me I'm ready to go, and not 3 days later, she was gone.
Yeah, wow.
So, amazing, amazing lady.
Yeah. But, indeed.
Anyway. So, let me ask you this. So, I know you did your first play about just women. So,
right.
How did you get these men involved? And were they as scared? I mean, if you called me in and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do my share about men. How do they feel well, about bringing their son?
I saw Ernest perform in something, and I loved his performance. So, and Joyce was there too. I said, Joyce, how about we add men? And how about we invite Ernest? And so, and he was immediately willing to do it. So that was that. And then Joyce invited Alan, and Ernest invited Don. And that's how it happened.
Well, Don's, you got to have Don.
I know.
I mean,
his
piano playing is
I know.
Fantastic.
It makes the show.
It really does.
I know.
Because you can have tambourines or something on the side, but with his piano playing.
He's just amazing.
Yeah, it's good. So you must have gotten a lot of great reviews, haven't you?
We have nothing in writing, a lot of reviews by people talking to us, but we haven't been in the news or anything like this to have written review. We have some things that we quoted people, testimonials that have told us about how hysterical it is, how thought-provoking it is, how entertaining it is, how wonderful a show it is. Every woman should, in her aging, should see this. I've heard that too. There have been a lot of comments like this.
Okay, so I may make a note as you're talking. We got to get like guys like Dwayne Harada, if you know who that is, the entertainment writer. Maybe the other guy, I just saw him at the Jake Schmuel Cruz concert at the Blue Note. You know, I'm not gonna say that, but if you got some tickets, I'll get them to the show.
Okay.
That'd be really
I
good
have
to have.
I have tickets for them.
Oh, okay. Good, because they're not spring chickens anymore. Not to say they're not old, but I think they would love the play.
Yeah.
You know. But in terms of, so I know we talked earlier during the break that you're having some time in February to bring the play back.
Right.
Were we at Manoa Theater?
Yes, February 18 and 17 and 18.
17, I'm making
Monday
a note.
Monday and Tuesday.
At Manoa Theater. Okay, I'm just making a note, guys. So if you're listening, if you got it on our website, February 17 and 18 at Manoa Theater. Probably starts 7:30 again.
Right.
Okay, good.
But I would encourage people to come to this show.
Oh, October 29th. Yeah, it's going to be a bigger auditorium.
Yeah,
too, for
sure. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I tell you. February issue, we'll put that in a magazine. Actually, Pratibha is going to write an article for our December-January issue about herself and aging. So what have you experienced with regard to aging? You know, I'm 58 now, and I see my parents. I'm very close to my parents. I see them, and my dad still plays tennis 3 times a week. They still do volunteer work. My mom still goes to the same hairstyles for 35 years.
Why not?
They still go to Vegas every other
month. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's about engaging fully in living. It doesn't matter at what age. There are difficulties at any age. You know, as a young kid or even an infant that can't talk, it's difficult not to be able to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, with aging, there's other things that are difficult. But the question is, what do you do with that? How do you relate to it, and how do you relate to life? And I think that the experience of being free to create and being more spiritual and being more mature and being more resilient, it all helps to having an engaged, full life for those who choose to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your number chronologically is.
I'm kind of glad. I think it was Alan Kubo that did a technology thing. Was that you?
That's the one I'm writing for your magazine about technology.
But didn't you have
in
a segment?
The show?
Yeah, I think there was something in the show about technology. Maybe it was the iPad or the phone or something. No? Because that's something I hear about a lot of time.
Right,
where,
right.
Unfortunately, but my dad has been through 3 printers. He used to write newsletters for these different nonprofits. You remember the Palm Pilot?
Yes,
I do. Palm Pilot before I did.
Good for him.
I'm like, what are you doing with that? He goes, I'm busy, Percy. I have a lot of stuff to do. He was on several boards, and he would write newsletters. He was a president of different associates. And he had a Palm Pilot before I do it. It's so funny. I thought I was progressive. I thought I was – I'm always looking to the future. In fact, my brother bought me a Palm Pilot. My older brother bought me a Palm Pilot. And I can't remember what year it was. But I know all I remember is I had it for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
I got it for Christmas. And the following year, about December 30th, I was going to clean up. I tried to clean up my office and my house before the new year. And I found the Palm Pilot in the box. And I go, oh, my God, I can't remember it. Yeah, I've had it for almost a year, I said. So I'm not one to jump into the fire, but I said, you know what? There's got to be something with this. So I opened up the box. I never opened a box. And I looked at this thing, and I said, wow, I mean, I have to get rid of my date book? What? And I opened it up, and I used it, and like this January 2nd, I'm going, what an idiot. I should have started. It's the best thing I ever did. Now I have my smartphone here, and I do everything on my smartphone. It's amazing how technology, and I thought I was pretty progressive. And I worked for Nextel back in the mid-90s when the Nextel first came out, and with the walkie-talkie and everything. But that Palm Pilot is in the date book and my note thing. You know, everybody knows how I am with it. I don't like to keep paper.
You know that they used for a long time. They used the computer and computer games to heal people from brain injury, and to recover, and to regrow brain cells and all of this, which is right now the big in thing.
Regrow brain cells.
Yeah, reverse aging in the brain through certain activities and through certain nutrition and so on and so forth. But they've done that for a long time.
Really?
There's a lot of research out there about it's the leading edge of what's happening with the brain.
Well, unfortunately, we've had guests on with dementia and Alzheimer's. They can't really do that because I understand it starts 20 years before.
Well, there's even some things that are happening around that are being addressed. It's not our topic, and right. I haven't done enough research to talk about it on the radio, but it's really interesting, and there's a lot out there that is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I like to, well, maybe you want to write in a future article, because it's something that I think, one thing as a resource magazine, we really try to get as much information out there.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we vet it, make sure it's accurate and not some sales pitch thing like that. But I think it is so true. I think with technology today, in fact, I was telling on one of our other shows that on my car seat, I have a book I just picked up this morning. It's I can't remember the name of the book. It's Do You Want to Live to 120 Years Old, or How Are You Going to Live to 120 Years Old? something like that. And like, well, I'm just worried about getting to 90 like my dad. And like another 30 years on top of that, oh my God, my dad's been retired. My dad's been retired 39 years.
But he's active. He's involved. He's just not legally occupied by a particular company.
Right. Well, he only worked for 31 years. He retired for 39 years. Luckily, being in the military, he could do that, and he had a great pension. But yeah, it's amazing. So what's next for you, Pratibha Eastwood?
Well,
any more plays?
Actually, I'm coming up with a book.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which is not part of the show, but the title of which is From Mud to Lotus. I meant to behave, but there were too many other options.
You meant? Is it about your life?
To behave, but there were too many other options. Yes, it's a memoir.
Hmm.
So that's my next project after we take a rest with this.
And so it's like coming out in the next year or so? Or
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we do feature books in the magazine, so we love to see
okay.
that.
Okay, thank you.
But so how is aging as a woman, has it changed? Have you seen any change? Like, are you like your mother?
Well, it's changed a lot. Well, first of all, what used to be old is now middle age at best.
So true, yeah.
You know, even insurance companies used to have their time of insurance up to whatever, 60, 70, and then it went up to 80. Now they go to 100, and pretty soon it'll be 120, you know. So because of the health evolution and the good food and exercise and all the rest of the things that people are involved in, you just live longer and you can do a lot more things. And so aging is a fiction of the imagination.
It's what you think of it and what you want to do about it.
What you do with it. Just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I love that movie called the what is it called? It was about the bucket list. What was the name of that movie? Was it called?
Oh yeah, right.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Anything on your bucket list that you're looking at doing?
Well,
besides the book.
Besides coming out with the book, that's a big thing.
Okay, and anything else?
Traveling. I do a lot of that. I still work, and I love my work, and I don't see myself necessarily not doing that for a while to come. So that's basically it. I'm really very engaged with, between the Aging is Not for Sissies and everything that goes on with it, my work and my book. I'm good.
Good. You should get some like coffee cups or something like that.
You know, I have bags now. You didn't see them. Yes, we have beautiful bags with Aging is Not for Sissies on them. They will
really
be there at Orvis Auditorium, yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But coffee cups, people love to have. But yeah, the bag would be good because you can carry around and promote it. But you probably need to, like, I'm not sure if she can, what do you call that, license the words? I'm not sure if you can do that.
I am, I copyrighted it and I trademarked it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, we should.
Nobody else took exactly those words. There's a lot of similar things,
mm-hmm.
but not exactly those words. So at the time, in 2005, I've done that.
Okay. So going forward, can you? So like I said, I always look at the future, and I see my dad. My dad took most of our family to Vegas in July, and we all marveled at him because he's still playing tennis three times a week. My mom loves to gamble, and she's got it. She didn't.
So great.
She didn't want a walker, or she didn't want a cane. She went straight to scooter. Because I said, "Why don't you get a wheelchair?" And my dad goes, "Then I gotta push it." So funny. Well, you thought this out. Let me tell you, it's so funny. And so we went there, and like, man, they were, after we dinner, all the kids and grandkids going, "Where's mom and dad? Where's grandma and grandpa?" I don't know. They were out, gone already. You know?
That's so great.
It's amazing. So can you see yourself at that age? What do you think you'll be doing at 90 years old?
Probably I will continue to be active with exercise, with writing, with maybe performing, with singing, with other kinds of engagement, probably doing some help and social and psychological work with aging people in the community that I'm in, of getting older people out of isolation, of communicating, of sharing, of developing, of having the courage to continue, things of that nature.
That's so great. And let me ask one last question. As you may know or have read about the, this is not part of the question you asked me, but I was just trying to get people's comments and thoughts about the newest law that was passed for aging, and was they kind of call it death with dignity, but they call it something else, like Our Care, Our Life, or something like that.
Compassion and Choices.
Yeah, Compassion and Choices. We had them on our radio show.
Yeah.
What is your opinion about that?
I supported them when they came to Hawaii, and I think it's really important. Just the whole idea of people having choice about their own life, or on any level, it seems appropriate to me for nobody else to make the decision about people and their lives, but for people to have that freedom.
Yeah, because there's been things in the paper, and there was a big article, I think it was this weekend, about how some doctors are not willing to be with the program or not being able to counsel them. And it's unfortunate that, understand where they're coming from. Their job in their creed, in their oath, it was to save people's lives, not to end it.
Right.
But they're pushing their own personal beliefs or practice on one of their clients.
That's part of the medical profession, is to keep life alive, no matter what. That's their creed or something.
Right, it is.
Yeah.
So that really throws a twist in there.
Yeah.
Maybe if you know any doctors, I'm going to have them on our radio show, seriously, because I get that.
I know a few.
And we've had Compassion Choices on here. I actually met the director. She flew in for a meeting with some docs and some.
I was there and you were there when there was the training. Yes.
No, it was
a long time ago.
Yeah,
actually.
It was a couple of years ago.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can see both sides. I've actually talked to different hospice agencies, and I get it. It's such a. I don't want to say it's a controversial issue, but I definitely think it's more of a spiritual issue and an individuality issue.
It's both.
Yeah.
You know, but. The impression I'm getting is that it's about choice. It's not about dying. Because a lot of the people get the prescription, they have it at home, and then they can decide to use it or not. But they can decide rather than somebody else deciding.
Well, statistically, very few people use it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to grow as we get more educated, especially with the boomers coming up. They want to be able to have more control of their lives.
Not like 78 million boomers. This year turned 65.
Yeah, I knew there was a figure around there. Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, so.
It's going to be really revolutionary.
Yeah. Well, Pratibha Eastwood, you're leading that. You've done a great job. And so I encourage everybody to go to Orvis Theater October 29th, 7:30 p.m. Just give them a call down there. There'll be some press releases out there.
To this phone number and to this email, not to Orvis Auditorium.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So let me give you that number again. Let me get that number here.
371.
Yeah, 371. 1104. Yeah. At Orvis Theater. There should be tickets there right now. I would tell you get it soon. And then February.
The tickets are at Brown Paper Tickets. Aging is Not for Sissies. brownpapertickets.com. Yeah. And or the phone call.
Right.
The people at Orvis are not handling it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And so also, though, if you miss it, February 17, 18
at
Manoa
Theater
in 2019. So thank you so much, Pratibha. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Percy.
We see her in our magazine as well. So thank you very much. Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. As always, aloha and live well.
Aloha.